Hello there, Dunder Mifflinites, and welcome back to another episode of The Office ASMR, a podcast to fall asleep to and enjoy the great television show, The Office Without Any Screens. Tonight we're on Season 5, Episode 12. This is The Duel. Thinking about it today, it's like, well, that escalates quickly after the Moroccan Christmas episode. And it was directed by Dean Holland, written by Jennifer Salata. And cinematography, seemingly always by Randall Einhorn. And Dean Holland was also the editor for almost the entire show. So it is interesting in television shows when you start to see, you know, cast members, actors take on new roles in the creation of the television show. I think that's great. Well, as promised tonight, I should have done this on a Ken Kwapis-directed episode, but I don't think we have one of those for a while, and I would rather do this while it's fresh on my mind. I'm going to talk about the 90s gem of a film, Dunstan Checks In, which the Office tie-in here. Okay, so the next episode that Ken Kwapis directs is the Lecture Circuit series, you know, doubleheader episode, which is 16-17, so that's in like 5 weeks. Yeah, I'm not waiting. But if you want to skip ahead to, there's about 20 minutes remaining in the episode, that'll be the episode. If you know this movie, it was crazy to revisit it. And if you don't know this movie, I don't think it's worth watching, but it's definitely worth talking about. So if you want to jump ahead and you don't care to hear about this, go for it. I don't have enough to talk about to make it a true bonus episode. It would only be 5 minutes. But I want to talk about this movie, and this is my podcast. And if you really hate it, and you tell me that I won't do this ever again. But if you do like it, I will talk about other 90s gems that I enjoy as a child and that I'm revisiting with my children, which is what I did here. So Dunstan Checks In is a movie about a monkey who lives in a hotel. It is directed by Ken Kwapis, who is a prolific director on The Office. Very, very close Office tie-in. And I would say, and it is it's a movie from the mid-90s that is the most 90s movie of 90s movies. It was incredible to like revisit. The premise is that there's a Plaza Hotel, equivalent hotel in New York, that is run by Jason Alexander as the manager, and he lives in the hotel with his two sons. He's a single dad, and chaos ensues when somebody brings Dunstan, a orangutan, into the hotel to steal from people. And at the same time, there's going to be a 6-star qualification at the hotel, so not just 5 stars anymore. But the magical company that rates hotels is going to add a 6th star. And the two sons are played, the main character is played by Eric Lloyd, who you would know from the son in The Santa Claus. And thank you IMDb, realized he was in The Brave Little Toaster. Amazing. That's another one. I know I want to revisit that one, but I know there's two scenes that are a little too frightening for my children right now. I gotta wait a little bit longer on that one. And he was also he was a voice in Rocket Power. He was Josh. I can't remember the character of Josh. I don't think it was a main character. It must have been like somebody who lives in that area. But basically the premise of Dunstan Checks In is, like Home Alone meets George of the Jungle. I could see that being the pitch because, you know, you have scenes of the orangutan causing havoc in the hotel, but also Home Alone, you have the sons doing things on their own. It's like a little blend of both of those. And Jason Alexander looking like a snack. He looks great in this movie. There's a couple of scenes, especially in the beginning, he's wearing this double-breasted navy suit. Oh my goodness, he looks great. I guess I never really pictured him as looking that conventionally attractive, but he looked great. And talking about the 90s-ness of it all. It also has Paul Rubens from Pee-wee's Playhouse as the bad guy. Not bad guy, as an exterminator. But I was watching it and I was like, is that Pee-wee? And it turns out, yeah, it was. But the other thing, too, is the trailer. Like, if you look up the trailer for this on YouTube, it spoofs GoldenEye, which at the time would have been the massive, massive movie, the James Bond movie at the time with Pierce Brosnan. But it spoofs GoldenEye because it has Dunstan the orangutan in the white tuxedo with a gun and like a very spy style. There's also a particular art and style to 90s movie trailers if you go back and watch them, even for movies you're familiar with. You know, the way that they were positioned and highlighted were pretty unique. What I was almost shook by with this movie was the intro brunch scene for two reasons. Number one, I would pay almost anything to get a brunch like that right now, because it would look so good. I have not had a restaurant or a hotel brunch in over a year, and I used to eat a lot of them because I would travel for work a ton. But there's an incredible opening brunch scene, and the other side of that is that you just don't tend to get movies that open up that way anymore. It's like a very slow, methodical, well shot, beautiful scene of food being made, and it was way more prevalent in older films. And part of that is the just attention spans of film today, but also, and this has been interesting to watch play out, and people have talked about this with Netflix, is they're starting to change the structure of movies for streaming services because you no longer are guaranteed that a person will watch the entire, you know, 2 hours of a movie. And so if there is a redemption arc to a character, you need to show more of that up front so that you hook somebody and you're no longer guaranteed someone's going to sit through it. If you open up with a, you know, the main one that I remember from my childhood was the opening of Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. I love that opening scene. I love the process. I mean, they're doing beautiful shots of making candy and chocolate and bars and, you know, dipping. They dip things, and it's a beautifully shot film opening. It's also unique. It's cool. It's candy. Who doesn't want to watch that get made? But you just don't tend to get those scenes anymore. And like that alone in this movie was I would say high art. That is just worth watching that opening scene just to see it. The rest of the movie you can kind of skip because I mean, I'm more interested in the fact that it was directed by Ken Kwabis, and is such a time capsule in a way that I don't, not all movies are. But yeah, the quickest rundown of the plot is that the dad and the sons live in the hotel. Dunstan is a monkey that is brought in by a hotel guest that who wants to steal things. At the same time, there's a guy, you would recognize him. I meant to look up the actor's name, but he's also like a very 90s actor that was just in a ton of stuff, character actor. But in the end, there's one of the people and the guests in the hotel is from the ratings agency that's going to give the star ratings to the hotel. And then the chaos just ensues while Jason Alexander's character is trying to keep form and function and everything in the hotel and try to win that extra star. And the two sons, you know, it's tough to do that with two sons in a hotel. And then at the end, talk about 90s movie of 90s movies, there's a giant chaotic hotel ballroom scene. Why was that such a thing in the 90s? Because we literally just watched Babe, and it was nearly the same scene. Babe, Pig in the City had nearly the same scene in a hotel of like the cake smashing and the punch bowl gets, there's a slow-mo of the punch bowl and water, and like there's a complete chaos ballroom scene. And that's two of two recent movies that I watched from the 90s. And I can picture a couple more from my childhood. I guess I'll have to find them. But maybe that'll be like a ringer piece on why ballrooms were so popular in slapstick comedy films from the 90s aimed at children. And just to wrap it all up in the pièce de résistance was that the soundtrack is complete with Seinfeld style bass lines. Like there was a lot of like, that's not going to translate well, but there was a lot of it sounded like a lot of Seinfeld DNA in that. And but that's what you do, you go with the times, that's what was popular. And GoldenEye as well is very guilty of being a very 90s-esque centric soundtrack and styling and everything. And so that is Dunstan Checks In. The Office ASMR review is, check it out, maybe, if you have kids. And if you don't, and you really, if you watched as a child and you have a lot of nostalgia for it, yeah, it's cool to revisit. Otherwise, just keep going. But shout out to Ken Kwapis for directing Dunstan Checks In, and that being the Office tie-in. Because in The Office, ladies, they always talk about how there's a lot of crossover between the cast of Monk and The Office. And I guess it'd be interesting to see what else Ken Kwapis directed, but it wasn't even that I searched that movie out because Ken Kwapis directed it. It was just a happy accident. And also, the fact that, you know, I watched the credits at the opening and realized it was Ken. So, Dunstan Checks In. I think the appropriate star level on IMDb is like 5 out of 10. But a fun romp. It's not like it's any worse or better than modern children's films, I can tell you that much. So with that, let's get into Season 5, Episode 12, The Duel. We open up with just a standard day at Dunder Mifflin. And with the exception that Michael is quote unquote not in yet, and we look out of the window and Michael is running in front of a speed sign. And what's funny about this is literally just last night I got a TikTok of a bunch of teenagers running in front of a speed limit sign. And half of the comments were Michael Scott, you know, went 35 or something. And I was like, oh, that episode should be coming up. It really is the For You page, TikTok. 31, not 35. So the comments were correct. 31 is my new number. That's impossible. Beat it. And we're into the theme. I guess season 6 is when they switched it and they added Andy, because we're still at the original theme, the original cast. Michael's presence has been requested by David Wallace. He likes to talk about big picture stuff. I have little no idea what that means. Probably bad. And Pam is announcing new year, new candy. They're kind of spicy. And Andy comes in. Can I have the floor, please? This is very awkward. No one has RSVP'd to our wedding, and the deadline was yesterday. Dwight was very nervous. Michael says, you still don't know? And Jim is like, no, let's go in here. Let's go into the office. Michael is trying to, talk to Andy through the windows. And Jim is shutting the blinds. Jim says, Andy still doesn't know. It's 17 days. Eventually he'll know when the kids have giant heads and bead-stained teeth. But right now it's awkward. Michael was like, I can't take it anymore. I'm telling Andy. Who should it come from? Angela. Everybody says Angela. Are you still having intercourse with her? Didn't you have ever intercourse in this office? Phyllis is nodding, yes. Are you serious? Where? Where, Dwight? I think you know. I think seems like you already know where. The break room is packed right now. Angela, Kevin, you screw this form up. I didn't realize I was doing something wrong. If I had, I would have admitted it and stopped right away. I wouldn't want an innocent person. A little high five with Oscar and Kevin. That was good. How about? Sorry I did such a whorish job on this form. Boom. And Andy, shouts. And Dwight stands up. Nervous. Trade seats with me. I've got a better angle on Pam. I can see everything. And, Andy was shouting about a fee to cut his own cake. Rule 17. Do not turn your back on bears when you have wronged or the dominant turkey during mating season. Learn your rules. You better learn your rules. If you don't, you'll be eaten in your sleep. We have Dwight moving his bobblehead to position to signal to Angela to meet. You've got to tell Andy about us. Get it over with. We don't have to hide anymore. I have already admitted that I do. Why do I repeat it? Okay, now Michael comes out and is very close to Dwight. Not yet. When what? Awkward four-way exchange. We have to put an end to this. Now we have Andy trying to figure out what's going on with Dwight, Jim, and Michael. Angela said she was going to tell him. Is she crazy in bed? How so, specifically? Inflexible. That man has an anger issue. Too late. Michael, once this gets out, I don't know how it's going to go down. Jim, this house to get out so we can all deal with it. But you're leaving. Andy, walk with me. Phyllis, there's a lot of tension. You have Dwight and Jim. Now Angela is also aware. I do not have much time to tell you what I have to tell you, but when I say these things, they're bad things in your ears. It's something that if I were you, you have the whole office looking out the window at the parking lot to see what's going on. I'm not very articulate today. I'll leave it for another day. Go kick Wallace's ass. And now, through the window, Michael says Dwight and Angela are having an affair. They've been sleeping together for some time. That was the news. Just wanted to let you know. See you later. Are you serious? Now, Andy stands alone in the parking lot. And he's just walking in circles. Everybody heads back to their desk. If I'm sitting, I can't disable his neck or his groin. I need you to sit. Andy slowly walks back to Angela. I need to talk to you. We can talk right here. We're not listening, says Kevin. Is it true that you're sleeping with Dwight? I mean, she's gaslighting. Would I have said yes to formal chrysanthemums if I don't want to get married? Are you sleeping with Dwight? A little bit, she says. How long has it been going on? We were together, he killed Sprinkles. I don't know exactly. Michael, who else knows about it? Let me think, and he turns around, and the entire office. He's like, come on. David says, look, your brand's doing great. Very strong sales number. You're outperforming last year. I don't know how to put this. What are you doing right? All the other branches are struggling. But your branch reports strong numbers. something you're doing is right. I need to get a sense of what that is. And you can see the pleasure in Michael's voice. I've always lived by it, and I always will. Don't ever, for any reason, do anything to anyone for any reason, ever, no matter what. No matter where, or who you are with, or where you are going, or where you've been. Ever. For any reason whatsoever. Sometimes I'll start a sentence and I don't even know where it's going, hoping that I'll find it along the way. This is going to sound high maintenance. I always think better when it's cooler in here, like 3 degrees. David Wallace is like, look, something's going right. It's not time for executives to get judgmental. It's Hail Mary. Let's get some pasta. Let's say we do. Now Andy is asking for details as Angela describes missionary. Andy, we're at a crossroads here. We can give in. Who says we're not good together? Or prove them wrong? Let's prove them wrong. Where's Dwight? Are you? Jim asks if he's okay. You okay? I know, so I'd like to take this opportunity to, from everyone, lying to my face. You're welcome, says Creed. Now we have Dwight coming out of the kitchen. Andy. It's over. Oh good, she broke up with you. No way. I'm not giving up. She's marrying me. She certainly seems to enjoy making love making with me. Why don't we cool off a bit? Says Jim. How are you going to do that? I will fight you. A duel. The winner gets Angela. Oscar, this is nuts. It is my business when it happens at work. We're doing it outside. That is stupid. I will use a sword and I will cut off your bare hands. Meredith is into this. I've had 2 men fight over me before. Usually it's which one holds a camera. Pam says, you need to stop this, Angela. I will respect the results of the duel. Meredith calls loser. I'll take my break at 4 o'clock in the parking lot. What a coincidence that Dwight will be taking his at the same time in the same location. Jim either gets more involved or takes a sick day, leaving Dwight in charge. Oh God. Now Jim is walking around the office, pulling weapons out of every nook and cranny. Meredith says there's a star-shaped thing under the kitchen table. Now we're back with David Wallace. Michael's describing a time that he saw Kevin with a new jacket. He says, Michael, yes it is a tweed jacket. I feel the need for tweed. Look at that. David says, it's hard to evaluate yourself, but I appreciate you trying. Thanks for coming in. I am so impressed with the potential you see in me. And he just eats up. Finish up. We have Dwight out in the office with some kind of, it's not a nunchuck, it's like a chain. Angela can't believe they're gonna fight over her. Anything happened yet? Believe in something. And Dwight spots a piece of paper on the bushes. From the desk of Andrew Bernard. A pathetic note. How are you? I am well. You're wondering why I left this note. Any physical match, I will be bested. The soft underbelly of my underbelly. Oscar says he deserves the win. The Prius is silent under 5 miles per hour. Ooh. And now he's pinned. Andy, you give up? I am a man. I'm a bigger man than you'll ever be. I'd never sleep with another fiancé. All you do is dress fancy and sing. What does that mean? You can't even protect her. When was the last time you saw a bear in Scranton? Are your legs broken? Go away, Tuna. I'm winning this. Oh, trust fund will take care of that. Is that a belt? What is he swinging with? Andy beeping. You're like a Sasquatch who lives in the woods. Sasquatches are the strongest animal on the planet. How could she sleep with you this whole time and only sleep with me twice? She's sleeping with you? She said she was only sleeping with me. Oh, that changes everything. For both of them, apparently. Andy comes in to his desk and sits. Dwight slowly comes in afterward. Angela looking concerned. Andy is canceling a wedding cake. And Dwight looking down. One shaped like a sailboat. Dwight picks up the bobblehead and it goes in the trash. What a day, says Michael. I thought I was going to get chewed out. Here's an attaboy for you. What? Roller coaster. This is a green screen, right, Michael, in New York? Definitely a green screen. Now Dwight, the post-credits scene, I guess, would be Dwight grabbing his compound bow out from under the couch. Jim collects that one too. And that is it. I will see you next week for episode 13. Hope you enjoyed my mini movie review. And I'll see you in the next one.